I call this House Finance Committee meeting to order on Wednesday, March 22nd at 5:03 p.m. Present today, we have Representative Josephson, Representative Hannon, Representative Galvin, Representative Colomb, Representative Ortez, Representative Tomaszewski, Co-Chair Foster, and myself, Co-Chair Johnson. Assisting us today, we have Talia Ames as our LIO moderator, and our committee secretary is Leah Frazier. This evening, the committee will hear public testimony on HB 39 and HB 41, the operating and mental health budgets, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. for Anchorage and Mat-Su, as well as statewide off-net callers. Please call in or sign up by 7:30 p.m. in order to be included in tonight's testimony. We have a limited number of phone lines available, so please hang up immediately after your testimony. We are asking that testimony be restricted to 2 minutes per person. The time limit will be strictly enforced, but I will give callers a 10-second warning before their time is up. Moving on to public testimony, we will be moving on to public testimony in just one moment. We will take a few minutes for a brief at ease. Finance back on the record. We will be moving on now to public testimony, and we have 16 new persons signed up to take testimony from. First up, we will go to the Juno LIO. Well, I'll take that back. We're to be taking public testimony from Mat-Su, statewide off-net, and Anchorage. So I am going to start by going first to the Anchorage LIO, then taking other callers. So we'll start with Katie Capozzi from the Alaska Chamber. She from Anchorage, and she will be followed by Alicia Amberg from the Associated General Contractors of Alaska. So, Ms. Capozzi, if you would, go ahead and state your name for the record, and you may begin your second 2 minute public testimony.
Thank you. Co-chairs Foster, Johnson, and members of the House Finance Committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify today. For the record, my name is Katie Capozzi, and I serve as the President and CEO of the Alaska Chamber. I testify today in support of funding the State Primacy Program of Section 404 of the Clean Water Act. The Alaska Chamber was founded in 1953 and is Alaska's largest statewide business advocacy organization. Our mission is to promote a healthy business environment in Alaska. The chamber has more than 700 members and represents businesses of all sizes and industries from across the state, representing 58,000 Alaskan workers and $4.6 billion in wages. The chamber has a long-standing position in support of increasing responsible natural resource development by improving the efficiencies of the permitting process and gaining access to our resources. As identified in the feasibility study requested by the legislature, state primacy of the 404 program would result in a timelier and better coordinated permitting process without compromising current regulatory standards and requirements. It would also allow for a greater ability to tailor policies and procedures to Alaska's unique conditions. We are pleased the legislature approved the statutory authority to implement the 404 primacy program and encourage you to take the next crucial step in providing for the funding needed to necessarily apply and implement the program. There have been significant federal administrative and legislative actions that have negatively impacted Alaska's businesses and overall investment climate. By providing the funding needed to implement the 404 program, the legislature can bring some much-needed stability back to Alaska. A state-run program is accountable to Alaskans, and the legislature will assure that Alaska will have control of its permitting priorities. Thank you for your consideration and funding the 404 primacy program, which will help Alaska's economy get back on track and set us up for success moving forward.
Thank you so much. We do have a comment from Representative Colom.
Thank you, Chair. Through the Chair, I just wanted to thank Ms. Posey for all her work at the chamber and taking the time to testify tonight.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I wanted to make sure that the record reflected that we were joined by Representative Cronk. Next up, we have Alicia Amberg from the Associated General Contractors of Alaska, followed by Deantha Skilbinski from the Alaska Miners Association. Ms. Amberg, if you would, state your name for the record and begin your two-minute public testimony.
Co-Chairs Foster, Johnson, and members of the House Finance Committee. For the record, my name is Alicia Amberg, and I'm Executive Director of Associated General Contractors of Alaska. Agency of Alaska is the construction industry's largest professional trade association, representing over 600 general and specialty contractors and industry suppliers statewide. We appreciate the opportunity to testify tonight in support of the Department of Environmental Conservation's pursuit of permit primacy over Section 404 of the Clean Water Act. We respectfully request the legislature provide adequate funding to DEC to assure primacy over this program. AGC believes that our economy would benefit from Alaskans permitting Alaska projects. Having infrastructure projects permitted and regulated by Alaskans ensures that our unique landscape, isolated project locations, and especially our limited construction season would be considered by regulators without compromising the stringent environmental standards that we are required to follow by law. DOT and AGC members are by far the largest users of the 404 program in the state. Bringing this program in-house will strengthen the state's regulatory system and ensure a stable, predictable, and timely permitting process for construction projects without compromising regulatory standards and requirements. We believe that a state-run primacy program would create a level of access to regulators that would help encourage regular communication and accountability between the permitters and applicants to help move these infrastructure projects forward. Similarly, a state-run program would be accountable to Alaskans and the legislature, assuring that Alaska has control over its permitting priorities. The funds coming to Alaska through the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act will create opportunity for our state, but also has the potential to create a significant backlog in permits for infrastructure projects around the country. Virtually every construction project created by IJA funds would require a 404 permit. This is not just for large natural resource development projects. It's for building roads, bridges, airports, and schools. A state-run primacy program for 404 would provide the same high level of regulatory certainty while ensuring reasonable permitting timelines. Thank you for your consideration and support of this funding and the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you very much. We have a comment from Representative Galvin.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment that I'm grateful for your work with the Alaska General Contractors. Thanks for coming into the building as well and sharing your important stories. I know that the work and projects that you all put together are critical for our state, and thank you for weighing in.
Thank you.
All right, next up we have Deantha Skilbinski, followed by Michelle Giroux from Hope Community Resources Key Coalition. Ms. Skobinski, if you would please go ahead and state your name for the record, and you may begin your two-minute public testimony.
Thank you, Chair Johnson and members of the committee. For the record, Deanna Skobinski, I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Miners Association. We're a statewide membership trade organization established in 1939 with 1,400 members that come from 8 statewide branches, Anchorage, Denali, Fairbanks, Haines, Juneau, Kenai, Ketchikan, and Prince of Wales, and Nome. And our members range from large-scale mines and projects to the small family-run placer mines across Alaska. I, too, am here today to support the funding necessary to implement primacy of the Federal Clean Water Act Section 404 program, and also to communicate our willingness to participate in the adoption of a fee structure to recover state costs. First, in terms of environmental protection, if primacy is implemented, the state of Alaska will be required to comply with the Clean Water Act program, and the standards will be at least as, if not more stringent, than the federal regulations. Then there's the predictability. The state assumption of 404 will bring to our permitting process. For Alaska's small-scale placer mining operations, this would be a significant improvement. Too often, federal employees come to Alaska and they serve in their roles for 3 years or less with unfamiliarity and with no understanding of ANILCA and the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act that guide our land management principles. And just in general, Alaska's unique environment and characteristics. Alaskan regulators better understand the uniqueness of Alaska and can better manage environmental protection policy under the 404 program. The state has an excellent track record of managing federal programs, including the Clean Water Act National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, NPDES, and now with Alaska it is APDES, the Clean Air Act, Safe Water Drinking Act, et cetera. We're well equipped to manage the Clean Water Act Section 404 regulation as well, and again, doing so would bring the regulatory certainty needed to grow investment. Finally, I'd just like to discuss the conversation of a new cost burden to the state and convey that Alaska's miners have a long history of paying their way and contributing to the state economy. We are open to an appropriate increase in fees to cover what it costs the state to administer the 404 program for miners, and we stand ready to work with the EC on that fee structure. We also support the EC's efforts to pursue and secure federal funding for the program. Thank you so much for the opportunity to testify on this today.
Thank you so much for calling in. We do appreciate your public testimony. Next up, we have Michelle Giroux from the Hope Community Resources Key Coalition, followed by Catherine Cronlund from Anchorage. Ms. Giroux, you may put yourself on the record and start your two-minute testimony.
Thank you, Co-Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Michelle Giroux, and I'm a constituent in District J. I'm 20. Although I care deeply about Alaska and the volume of difficult issues we collectively must solve, I've chosen today to speak to you from my lens as Executive Director of Hope Community Resources, a nonprofit organization based in Anchorage providing supports to 500 Alaskans with intellectual and developmental disabilities, as well as mental health challenges in 6 regions of the state, and as Board President of the Key Coalition of Alaska, a statewide advocacy organization for thousands of Alaskans with disabilities. I have worked in Alaska's community service delivery system for people with disabilities for nearly 40 years, so I've had a front row seat to the multitude of challenges related to the sector: limited and underpaid workforce, insufficient reimbursement rates, families in distress, and Alaskans waiting for services. I have also witnessed wonderful progress as we work to create communities where Alaskans with disabilities are valued and able to contribute their unique gifts and talents. We are now at a critical juncture. We have been sharing with you all that the current rates of reimbursement are insufficient for continued operations across the state. The federal government increased the FMAP during the pandemic, and the governor's amended budget maintains this increase, for which we are very grateful. However, that won't be enough to keep the system intact without an additional increment to create a bridge to sustainability while departments work on rate restructuring. I am urging an additional investment of $15 million to assure Alaskans with disabilities can be supported in community rather than the alternative of higher cost care, whether hospital or out-of-state institutions, if the provider system collapses, which transfers the higher cost to the state. But far more devastating is the impact on the personhood of Alaskans with disabilities. I recognize there are many issues and demands to balance, but on behalf of those who can't voice their concerns, I thank you for listening and for your service to Alaskans.
Thank you very much for calling in. Next, we have Catherine Cronlund from Anchorage, followed by Dirk Shoemaker from the from Anchorage, also Alaska Head Start Association. Ms. Cronlund, if you would like to state your name, place yourself on the record, and you may start your two-minute public testimony.
Madam Chair and members of this committee, my name is Catherine Cronlund, and I live in Midtown. I am the parent and caregiver for two special needs children. I'm here in support to speak on support of HB 41, the mental health budget. My children have qualified for the individualized supports waiver for the last 5 years. In that time, we have gone through 7 providers and 3 agencies. None of the providers lasted long-term, missed multiple days, or agencies were unable to accommodate my children's schedule. Finally, with Appendix K, I was allowed to provide the necessary supports to ensure my children's services continue. The ability to allow me to provide services to the children has been smooth sailing. I've been able to alter my work schedule and be more available to the children and their specific needs. Our home is set up to ensure the children have the best possible supports in place. The waiver will allow my children to learn fundamental skills necessary to reside independently in the community if I'm allowed to continue working with them. Home and community-based waiver services provide skills for children to acquire, improve, and retain self-help, socialization, adaptive, and life skills. As parents, we are continually thinking about independence, autonomy, and support for our children. Allowing family members to be paid givers to individuals with developmental disabilities alleviates the constant worry and stress over missed waiver visits and unreliable caregivers. Home and community-based waiver services provide fundamental skills for these individuals to acquire, improve, and retain self-help. These skills are necessary to reside independently without support, hold employment, and become functional members of society and the community. This will not only benefit them, but this will benefit the state of Alaska in the long term. As a parent, and I'm sure others, this is what we are striving for. If family members are not allowed to continue providing services, I do not know if my kids will get services due to staffing shortages, and they will show regressions in areas where skills have improved. Thank you, and I look for your support for individuals with developmental disabilities in Alaska.
Thank you so much for your public testimony. We have a comment from Representative Galvin.
Yes, thank you, through the chair. Catherine Cronlund, I want to thank you for calling in from Midtown Anchorage and share with you that it really does help us when parents call in and give us that firsthand experience of what it's like to have two children of special needs and how the services are making a difference for you. So I just want to thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much. Next up we have Dirk Shoemaker, Alaska Head Start Association. Mr. Shoemaker, if you would, put your name on the record and go ahead and start your two-minute public testimony.
Thank you, Co-Chairs Johnson and Foster, and thank you, members of the House Finance Committee, for your service. My name is Dirk Shoemaker, and I'm Executive Director of Kids Corner, Inc., a nonprofit providing Head Start and Parents and Teacher Services in Anchorage. And I'm also appearing on behalf of the Head Start, Alaska Head Start Association, which is composed of 17 Head Start grantees in 100 communities in Alaska, providing services for about 3,000 children and families annually. Head Start's comprehensive services are unique and include high-quality preschool and early-learning classrooms, developmental health and dental screenings and follow-up, behavioral health support and support for parents and the whole family. Quality is ensured by intensive federal on-site monitoring reviews that do not cost the state of Alaska a penny. In my opinion, no early childhood education provider monitors as heavily or is as accountable as a Head Start program. Head Start grantees throughout the state are now facing a workforce crisis. Wages and benefits are far below K-12 levels, and as a result, programs are understaffed and struggling to keep classrooms open. In addition, generationally high inflation has eroded our ability to meet basic operational costs like rent and utilities. To address this, I'm requesting the Finance Committee support a $5 million increase in state Head Start grant funding so Head Start can continue to provide vital services to children and families who need them most. As you probably know, state funding for Head Start has remained flat since 2010, while inflation has continued its steady upward march. As a result, state funds that provided the full 20% required federal match in 2010 now provide just a little over 10%. Increasing Head Start by $5 million and meeting the 20% required federal match will provide resources needed to keep the lights on and to recruit and retain the essential workers who help children to be ready for success in kindergarten and beyond, and who support parents in meeting their own parenting and employment goals. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you so much for calling in. We have a comment from Representative Plum.
Thank you, Chair. Through the Chair, Mr. Shoemaker, thank you so much for all the work that you do with Head Start and Kid Corps. We know that this is a crisis level, especially for our workforce and trying to get care for our children. So thank you so much for taking the time to testify tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. I do want to make note that we were joined several minutes ago by Representative Edgman. We are now going to go to our in-person testimony here from Juneau. Vicki Hewitt, if you would like to come forward and place yourself on the record, and go ahead and start your two-minute public testimony.
Good evening, Co-Chairs Foster and Johnson and members of the House Finance Committee. Thank you for this opportunity to testify this evening. For the record, my name is Vicki Hewitt. I currently serve as the president of the MATSU Education Association. It's my honor to represent nearly 1,200 certificated teachers, nurses, school counselors, librarians, and related service providers. This is my 24th year in education, and I wanted to share a few observations about the impact of the last 7 years of flat funding. First, students' class size have grown. For example, there are high school teachers who now have over 200 students that they're responsible for. I have one middle school teacher trying to teach upper-level math to 40 sixth and seventh graders in one classroom. There are kindergarten and elementary school classes with student counts in the high 20s and even into the 30s. When class sizes balloon to this level, students get left behind. Students no longer get individual attention and no longer have a teacher who is able to fine-tune the learning experiences for each student. Flat funding has also impacted our ability to recruit and retain the best and brightest educators. I hear regularly from educators who are considering leaving Alaska because of pay and benefits that aren't competitive. Years ago, we had education job fairs where hundreds of people attended. Looking to teach in Alaska, our HR director informs me that she doesn't even go anymore because the attendance is dismal. As someone on the front lines educating students in the MATSU Borough School District, I can tell you, without this investment, our students will continue to suffer and our outcomes simply cannot improve. What better investment than this year's kindergartners? An investment that is not just one-time funding, but something we can count on into the future. Today's students are the next generation of nurses, engineers, carpenters, and yes, legislators that will build our state and define our future. As you write the state budget this year, I respectfully urge you to include an increase in the BSA and make a significant investment in our students. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for coming to testify in person. Now we are going to go to our off-net callers. We have Tiffany Hall, the Executive Director of Recover Alaska from Anchorage, and she will be followed by Steve Fleifman from Anchorage. Tiffany Hall, if you would, please state your name for the record and go ahead and start your two-minute public testimony.
Thank you so much, Co-Chairs Johnson and Foster and members of the House Committee. My name is Tiffany Hall. I'm the Executive Director of Recover Alaska, a multi-sector action group working to reduce excessive alcohol use and harms across the state. Our vision is for Alaskans to live free from the harms of alcohol misuse, so we are all empowered to achieve our full potential. I am also a person in long-term recovery from co-occurring alcohol use and mental health disorders. I'm calling in support generally of maintained and increased funding for prevention, treatment, and recovery services, and specifically including an increase to both behavioral health and public health crisis now continuum of care grants by $333,000 and $167,000, respectively, to fund the numbers recommended by the Mental Health Trust Authority. Additionally, maintaining behavioral health treatment and recovery grants at $416,000 and an increase to peer support certification funding by $100,000. Peer support is a critical piece of the treatment and recovery framework. It's a best practice and has proven positive outcomes. Certification is a critical piece of peer support as it helps to provide a pathway to employment and promotion for people who are in recovery. helpful not only for those individuals, but also for our state's economic growth and workforce development. Plus, these funds are matched. Please include $100,000 for this critical infrastructure. About the Behavioral Health Treatment and Recovery Grant, before the pandemic, roughly 44,000 Alaskans experienced an alcohol use disorder, and only 15% of people who qualified for treatment were actually receiving it. During COVID-19, the first year alone, a third of Alaskans increased their alcohol use to cope with stress, which is an incredibly dangerous type of drinking. It more commonly leads to alcohol use disorders. Additionally, our death rate from alcohol increased by 31% in 2020 alone, which is a horrific number considering we were already dying at rates twice as high as the rest of the nation. These services are critical. Please, please maintain this funding. And then the Crisis Now grant will fund critical aspects of the crisis stabilization work already started in communities throughout the state.
Thank you for your public testimony. We do appreciate you calling in.
That will make life-saving and life-changing differences.
I could have you wrap up, please.
Who need this.
Thank you. Next up, we have Steve Fleischman from Anchorage. If you would, please go ahead and say your name for the record, and you can begin your two-minute public testimony.
Okay. My name is Steve Fleischman. I live in South Edition, Anchorage. I'm calling about my daughter Courtney, who has Down syndrome, and she's 38. Courtney has received Medicaid-funded services for about 15 years now, and she's benefited hugely. As a result, she now lives across town with a housemate and a very resourceful caregiver. She gets out into the community almost every day. She has friends that she sees often, and her social skills have improved immensely. She makes her own healthy choices with respect to diet and exercise. And to sum it up, she has a rich, full life. For me, the best thing is that she's happy and safe and will continue to be so in the future, regardless of my own health or her mother's health. Whereas without those services, she would have been alone at home while we worked, or maybe we would have had to stop working. Certainly, we all would have been affected, and the situation probably would not have been sustainable as we grew older. So, needless to say, we are extremely grateful for these services, and we hope you will continue to support them. And that's all I've got.
Thank you very much. We do appreciate you calling in. Next up, we have Steve Rollins from Anchorage, followed by Trevor Storrs, President and CEO of Alaska Children's Trust. Mr. Rollins, if you would, you're welcome to go ahead and put your name on the record and start your two-minute public testimony.
All right. Good evening. Thank you for being here this evening. My name is Steve Rollins. I'm the head of the UAA ATU Consortium Library. I've held this position for nearly 25 years, and during this time, it has been my pleasure to have been involved with the statewide library programs in Alaska. This includes the Alaska State Library, SLED, and the Alaska Library Catalog. My request tonight is for funding that will support the continuation of SLED and the Alaska Library Catalog. Last year, we were able to have $635,900 added to the university budget to pass the House and Senate, but last year was vetoed by the governor. Because of significant budget cuts at the university libraries, these critical statewide library programs are in jeopardy. The Alaska Library Catalog has grown to include more than 90 public, tribal, academic, and school libraries serving rural and urban areas, covering about 92% of the populated areas of Alaska. The Alaska Library Catalog has more than 259,000 registered borrowers, with an annual circulation last year of 2.3 million books. Using an average cost of $21 per book, this level of activity represents a value of more than $49 million in library materials shared by Alaska residents. SLED is a statewide web-based service that provides access to hundreds of thousands of articles, online research guides, and reference resources. SLED provides access to the very popular Live Homework Health Alaska's Digital Archives, and the BrainPop video resources. SLED is used by the universities, school districts, researchers, and homeschoolers. SLED supports the governor's reading and literacy initiative. SLED helps to address the digital divide between the haves and have-nots across Alaska. Because of the budget reductions to the university libraries, funding is needed to keep SLED and the Alaska Library Catalog sustainable. In addition to SLED and the Alaska Library Catalog, the Alaska State Library has a critical role in supporting libraries across the state and their grant programs. That is why I'm very concerned about the recent budget cut made in the Deed House Finance Subcommittee to remove $400,000 from the state library budget. This budget reduction will have a very negative impact on the state's library programs and on all libraries receiving grant funding. This budget reduction is not justified and will have a cascading effect across urban and rural communities. To end my comments...
Thank you for calling in. We have time. I'm sorry that you've gotten to the end of your two-minute time limit. Would you like to just say a sentence and wrap up?
Yep, I would. I just want to end my comments then in support of restoring the $402,000 to the state library and for the $639,000 for the university budget. But thank you very much for your time.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. We are going to take just a brief at ease. Finance back on the record.
It's important.
Next up, we have Trevor Storrs, President and CEO for the Alaska Children's Trust, and he will be followed by Kathy Hernandez, also from Anchorage. Mr. Storrs, if you would, please put your name on the record, and you can begin your two-minute public testimony.
Thank you, and good evening. For the record, I'm Trevor Storrs, President and CEO of the Alaska Children's Trust, the statewide lead organization focused on the prevention of child abuse and neglect. Our state has long struggled with one of the highest per capita rates of child maltreatment in the nation, with more than 3,000 cases in 2020 alone. Child abuse and neglect is a complex issue. There's no single cause and no single solution. We believe that parents love their children and never intend to hurt them. However, when life's many stressors compound and stretch parents and caregivers to their limits, that is when child abuse and neglect occurs. Evidence shows that when children and families have the knowledge, skills, supports, and resources to thrive, the risk of child abuse and neglect is greatly reduced. As we look at the budget, there are many items we support that help us achieve that reduction. Pre-kindergarten grants, Best Beginnings, Imaginary Library, after-school programs, staff and technology upgrades for the Division of Public Assistance, to ensure families have access to food and health care, and continued funding for the Tribal Child Welfare Compacting. We support all of these items. Yet, while we recognize that today's revenue picture is challenging, there are several areas we think added investment is needed that can lead to future cost savings. Funds to stabilize the child care sector and working parents. Expiring federal dollars simply aren't enough. $5 million additional for Head Start programs, and added funds for parents as teachers. Not only does parents as teachers improve child development and school readiness, it is also proven highly successful in the prevention of child abuse and neglect. With our rate, Alaska can afford to not invest in this program. We fully support an increase of at least $250,000 to meet the needs on the wait list. Thank you for this opportunity to testify and for your consideration of additional investments to ensure our children live in safe, stable, and nurturing environment.
Thank you so much.
Madam Chair.
We do have a comment from Representative Galvin.
Thank you. Through the Chair, Mr. Storrs, I wanted to thank you and the Alaska Children's Trust for doing your part to speak on behalf of all children and also on behalf of families who are stressed and actually come up with some tangible items that we might be able to support to grow the knowledge, skills, and support that we know will help reduce the amount of child abuse and neglect that goodness knows our state wants to do. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Next up, we have Kathy Hernandez from Anchorage, followed by Mark Lackey, CCS Early Learning from Wasilla. Ms. Hernandez, go ahead and state your name for the record and go ahead and begin your two-minute public testimony.
Co-chairs Johnson and Foster and members of the committee, my name is Kathy Hernandez, and I am the founding member of the Alzheimer's Association Alaska Community Board. I'm speaking on behalf of the Alzheimer's Association and Alaska's dementia advocates. I'm calling to ask you for what is likely the smallest amount of funding you've heard about this evening, but it may be the most impactful part of this budget for the 63,000 Alaskans with subjective cognitive decline and Alaska's 25,000 family caregivers. We urge you to incorporate a modest $50,000 to be appropriated to the Dementia Awareness Program within the Division of Public Health at the Department of Health for promotion of dementia-specific educational materials to rural Alaskans. I am an Anchorage resident, but as an Alaska Community Board member, I represent all Alaskans who are impacted by Alzheimer's and other dementias. Alaska has the fourth highest rate of diagnosed dementia, which is incredible considering the lack of access to diagnosis, the cost of travel, the difficulty that prevents many from seeking a doctor's opinion, and the shortage in our state of neurologists and geriatric physicians. The sooner Alaskans recognize the signs and symptoms of dementia, the more likely they are to benefit from treatment, which can slow the progression of this terrible disease. Please appropriate $50,000 to the Dementia Awareness Program for rural outreach. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. We appreciate hearing from you. Next up, we have Mark Lackey from CCS Early Learning Center. Welcome to House Finance, Mr. Lackey. Feel free to go ahead and put yourself on the record and begin your public testimony. Mr. Lackey, are you online? We will go ahead and go to Sue.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Loud and clear. Go ahead and put yourself on the record and begin your public testimony.
Thank you very much. My name is Mark Lackey. I'm the Executive Director of CCS Early Learning in the Mat Sioux. I would like to begin by just thanking you, Co-Chair Johnson, and the House Finance Committee. Thank you very much for your service to Alaska during difficult times. I've worked for CCS for 24 years, 18 of these as executive director. Our organization is one of 17 Head Start providers who serve over 100 communities all over the state of Alaska. In my many years of doing this work, I've never experienced the challenges in our community or in our organization that we're seeing right now. Some examples. Currently, at CCS Early Learning, we're only serving 60% of the children that we should be. This is entirely because we cannot recruit and retain the staff necessary to open up all of our classrooms. Our organization is completely reliant on federal and state grants, and these grants have not come close to keeping up with inflationary costs. In fact, state funding for Head Start has not increased at all since 2010. We've been flat funded in our statewide funding amount at $6.8 million since 2010. Our federal Head Start grants require a 20% non-federal match, and the state of Alaska has always been committed to providing that match to ensure our programs could continue serving the children in our state who need it the most. With flat funding, we're down to 12%. The 60% in enrollment in our program due to low staffing means that we are not able to serve approximately 150 families. Those families are without a safe place for their kids to be during the day, and they're unable to be in the workforce. And of those children that are currently enrolled, approximately 50% of them are either homeless or in foster care.
That means that the classrooms that are open are full of children who have experienced far more trauma than they should have. No fault of their own, but the work in our classrooms is incredibly challenging. We desperately need the state of Alaska to return to matching our federal grants at 20%, which would require a $5 million increase through the Department of Education Early Learning Coordination line item.
Thank you
so
very much.
So that we can recruit and retain staff at the levels necessary to serve all of our children. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Lackey. We appreciate you calling in. Susan DeLoach will be next from Bright Beginnings Early Learning Center in Palmer, followed by Patricia Fisher from Meadow Lakes. Ms. DeLoach, if you would, go ahead and state your name for the record and begin your two-minute public testimony.
Hello, my name is Susan DeLoach, and I'm the owner of Bright Beginnings Early Learning Center, which operates four child care centers in Anchorage and Eagle River. We're licensed to care for 455 children. I've owned child care centers for the past 43 years, 28 years in Alaska. I've never seen such difficult operating conditions. Our centers have operated at a substantial loss since the beginning of COVID. Operating costs are up approximately 30%, and this includes staff costs. Enrollment is down. Before, we were operating close to 100% capacity. Because of COVID, our enrollment has dropped to approximately 60%. Enrollment is increasing, but we continue to operate at a loss. The difficulty of hiring qualified staff is limiting the number of children we can enroll. It is more difficult to hire and retain quality team members now compared to before the pandemic. The Alaska Chamber of Commerce recently found that insignificant child care reduces state economic output by approximately $165 million annually. Quality child care is vital for the economic recovery of our state. These difficult operating conditions have forced many child care centers to permanently close. We are thankful for funds made available from the PPP loan, a grant from the Anchorage Assembly, CARES and ARPA funds. This assistance has allowed us to remain open and care for Alaska's children. These sources of funding will come to an end in the near future. Without additional support, it will be very difficult for us to continue to care for the 275 children and 70 team members that are part of the Bright Beginnings family. Child care was a flawed business model before the pandemic. The cost of providing quality care is greater than most families can afford to pay, forcing providers to operate on razors and margins and paying their poverty wages to their team members. In the city, state, federal, and government funds passed significant early learning investments and reforms. Relief funding will expire and provides a return to the status quo, perpetuating a broken child care system that sets everyone up for failure. I humbly request that you support child care programs by adding $15 million to the child care grant to be used for wages. This will stabilize our industry and allow us to continue providing quality child care for Alaska's children. Thank you for everything you're doing to support quality child care.
Thank you very much. We do appreciate you calling in and all the hard work you do there at Bright Beginnings Early Learning Center in Palmer. Next up, we have Patricia Fisher from Meadow Lakes, followed by Susie Peterson, the Abused Women's Aid in Crisis from Anchorage. Ms. Fisher, if you would, go ahead and state your name for the record, and you may begin your two-minute public testimony.
Hello. My name is Patricia Fisher, resident of Meadow Lakes in the Matsu Valley. I am speaking in support of the proposal for participant-directed care. I am the grandmother of a youth with a disability waiver, so I speak with a direct connection to this issue. My family has not had a workable referral from their in-home aid from their agency in 6 months. This needs to change. With participant-directed care, my family would be able to directly seek out the type of health care they need without the wait and other complications required of going through an agency. If in-home aid is not available, my grandson could end up in a care facility at a higher cost. The health benefits for a waiver recipient, whether it is a senior or a youth, staying in their home are well known. The individual is happier and healthier with their family, in the environment in which they are familiar. If they're happier and healthier, their healthcare costs are less also. And to make a participant-directed care type program even better, it is projected to be less expensive than the current system. Therefore, there are two very clear benefits to providing for this change in the budget: better for the individual and better as to cost. I encourage you to support this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Fisher. And I don't see any questions from the committee. So with that, we'll move over to Susie Pearson and then Tommy Hiratsuka. And so with that, Ms. Pearson, if you could put yourself on the record and proceed with your two-minute testimony.
To the chair and members of the Finance Committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. My name is Susie Pearson, and I am the Executive Director for Abuse Women's Aid in Crisis, or AWAKE, in Anchorage. AWAKE is the only domestic violence shelter in Anchorage with 67 beds and a 24-hour crisis line. AWAKE's funding comes from multiple sources. However, the largest funder for our shelter program is CDBSA. The crime of domestic violence and sexual assault is a scourge on our state. Last year, AWAKE served 519 adults and children. With 4 months to go in this fiscal year, we've already served 587. Additionally, we've provided support via our crisis and support line to 6,425 last year, and this year we've already provided 8,582 calls. The demand for our services is increasing while our recruitment and retention levels have been low. We currently have 9 vacant positions in shelter. We have been filling them with on-call staff and overtime, which has put stress on our team and is causing burnout. Shelter programs funded by CDBSA have received flat funding for the last 5 years. There's been no increase to address the rising cost of utilities and staffing for our programs. One of the main issues has been because of the wages do not compete with other companies and organizations who can pay equal or higher amount without the stress of working in shelter. In order to adjust the market rates, AWAKE needs an additional $150,000 to attract qualified candidates to fill the frontline positions. In the state's budget, there is $3 million one-time increment for general funds and $3.5 million federal appropriation from Senator Murkowski. Without these one-time increments, services for victims of domestic violence and sexual assault would be $6.5 million short from previous year's funding. AWAKE supports this funding. One, AWAKE is requesting that one-time general funds be put in the base for CDBSA in order to create a sustainable income source. Second, we are asking for additional funds in order to address the flat funding of domestic violence and sexual assault programs throughout the state. I'd like to express my gratitude to all members of the Finance Committee, especially the Anchorage representatives, for taking the time to meet with me when I was there a few weeks ago. Your time and service are greatly appreciated. Thank you for listening to my testimony.
Thank you, Ms. Pearson. We've got a question from Representative Galvin.
Ms. Pearson, I want to thank you for taking the time to come down here and meet with us and many others. Your leadership and also just expressing the difference between last year and this year, helping us to understand the need based on the services you are giving is truly helpful and does direct our decisions ahead. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Pearson. And just a reminder, if folks would like to submit testimony in writing, you can do so by emailing the following address. There are no spaces in House Finance. It's all one word, housefinance@akleg.gov. Again, housefinance@akleg.gov. So with that, next up we've got Tommy Hiratsuka, and then also after that, Ron Meehan. So Mr. Hiratsuka, if you could put yourself on the record, state your name, your affiliation. I see you're calling in from Anchorage. Please proceed.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before the House Finance Committee today. My name is Tommy Hiratsuka, and I'm the Chief Financial Officer of Hope Community Resources. Our mission is to provide services and supports requested and designed by individuals and families who experience disabilities, resulting in choice, control, family preservation, and community inclusion. Hope provides services to roughly 500 Alaskans with disabilities each and every week. These are our friends and neighbors and people you bump into in the community every day. Tonight, I am calling in to advocate for an additional $15 million added to the state Medicaid budget in order to keep these Alaskans in our communities where we all belong. Without this funding, Hope and similar agencies will be out of business in the very near future. From a financial standpoint, our closures will cause added financial burden to the state, as people who have been receiving services here at home will have to be sent out of state for care. Out-of-state care is much more expensive than what can be provided here in Alaska, and improves those communities' and economies instead of our own. I'm asking for the additional funding so that we can keep people employed in Alaska, out-support, out-of-state institutions. It is not only the right thing to do, as others have commented on this evening, but it makes financial sense as well. Thank you for your consideration, and have a great evening.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hertzuka. And I don't see any questions. So with that, we will move over to Ron Meehan and then Wendy Lessonen. With that, Mr. Meehan, if you can put yourself on the record, proceed with your two-minute testimony.
Thank you, Chair Foster and members of the House Finance Committee. My name is Ron Meehan. I am the Policy and Advocacy Manager for the Food Bank of Alaska and the Alaska Food Coalition Manager. I am calling in today from Anchorage to testify in favor of the Governor's FY24 and amended supplemental budget proposal for technology and database upgrades and staff and IT workers at the Department of Health. This will help get through the current SNAP backlog and complete the long overdue and much needed computer systems upgrade. This is not the first SNAP backlog that we've had in the last few years, and they have a devastating impact on people that rely on the program. We know that when Alaskans aren't able to get the SNAP benefits they rely on, they show up at our network of food banks and food pantries that are already strained. One of the greatest bottlenecks in getting applications processed has been a technology system that hasn't been updated in decades. It uses a COBOL language that one person at the state has known how to navigate and has to manually enter information into. This has posed significant challenges to the state's ability to process applications timely and efficiently. The Division of Public Assistance is also understaffed and overworked, and hiring more workers and IT staff will reduce their current strain and quicken the ability of the DPA to process applications faster. We hope to see other long-term efforts to streamline and improve SNAP alongside this, such as the implementation of broad-based categorical eligibility. And we're thankful to the House for moving the fast-track supplemental today and to the Department of Health and the Governor's Office for providing immediate relief around the state to help meet the current need while we are in this backlog. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Meehan. And I've got a question from Representative Cologne.
Hi, thank you, Chair, through the Chair. Mr. Meehan, thank you so much for all the services that you help provide for the Anchorage community. I was just wondering, during the SNAP backlog, how is that affecting the services at the food bank? Are you guys able to meet the needs of the people that usually come to the bank for food?
Thank you for that question, Representative Cologne, through the Chair. It's been a tremendous and monumental task. We're doing everything that we can. I will say that the SNAP backlog is also coming at a perfect confluence of events where we're facing historically low levels in terms of food that's donated to us and also our federal commodity programs. And so the just under $1.7 million that was appropriated for immediate relief is being used for pass-through funding and bulk food purchases that have, again, helped us to alleviate some of that need and gone a long way in doing that. I can say that we've currently received orders from 47 different partner agencies around the state, but those orders are continuing to stream in.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Meehan. Thank you, Chair.
And I don't see any further questions, so thank you very much, Mr. Meehan. Next, we've got Wendy Lessonen and then Bert Hoftaling. So with that, Ms. Lessonen, if you can put yourself on the record. Looks like you're calling from Arizona.
Yep. I'm Wendy Lessonen. I'm calling in support of H. Bill 41. I live in Anchorage, and I'm just out of the state briefly. I'm a parent of an amazing 38-year-old with Down syndrome who but I'm also a direct service provider as a fill-in for one of the agencies that provides services for her, partially because they are short-staffed, but also because I love this population. I love watching Courtney and her peers just thrive in the community. She receives services through Cindy and Vix, the Arc of Anchorage, LifeWorks, and we also have a wonderful care coordinator provided through Medicaid funds, who helps us navigate all the varied services. As a parent, I can't begin to tell you how wonderful it is to see her thriving in such a life. And we want to really encourage you to continue to support these services at a reasonable rate so that we can continue not only for Courtney, but also for her peers and for younger people coming up through the school district and who will be needing the same kinds of support. One of the biggest challenges is staffing. We have had incredible staffing that has been with Courtney for years. But we are all aging, and we need to attract younger and newer staff to fill in some of the positions. And also, of course, with inflation, the cost of running homes has definitely increased. And the bottom line is we want these individuals in our communities, just like we get to function. And so we need to provide the supports enabled for them to do that. Thank you. That's it.
Great. Thank you very much, Ms. Leisman. We've got a question from Representative Galvin.
Ms. Leisman, I want to thank you for calling in all the way from Arizona, taking time out to do that. I know you're an Anchorage resident, and I really appreciate you giving us also the context and perspective as a care provider who shares the joy of working with your daughters and her cohorts. I think that really means a lot to us and to most Alaskans who really appreciate that work and understand how critical it is that we hear about the challenges that you have in staffing. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I don't see any further questions, Ms. Leisman. So with that, we do have four people on the list here, and we'll take them in the following order: Bert Hoftaling, Marge Stone King, Maury Wilson, and Gerald Dewhurst. So with that, Mr. Hoftaling, if you're there, calling from Big Lake, if you can put yourself on the record and proceed with your two-minute testimony.
Hi, my name is Bert Hoftaling. I'm from Big Lake, Alaska. I've always been curious to hear why the mental health budget and such usually just gets a rubber stamp once it gets to the floor to be voted on. And after hearing all the heartbreaking stories the last all day today, from the first testimonies to the ones that are being given now, and the demand that's needed out there. And I hear one theme that seems to fall in place everywhere, and it's just not even affecting the organizations that are doing so much uplifting work and support in our communities, is that there's nobody there to work. Yet we've provided funding for these places to employ people, that the money had to have gone somewhere. So where did it get spent? If they're not on the employed force to get them in, out there into the field doing the jobs, where does that money gone? Like the rest of us, we all have to live within our budgets, and that's something that you need to take in consideration when you're spending other people's money, as you're doing right now, to help keep these people well-funded for, again, the uplifting work that they do, the help that they provide for the community. But it does not seem that there's any accountability for where that money is actually going. There's a lot of pots out there of money being misspent, and that money needs to be corralled back in and put back where it needs to be, helping Alaskans, not just keep adding more money on top of it so that they can keep moving it around into the different pots they want to keep it in and in. As for the supplemental budget, hopefully we can think about how to spend money more wisely. Again, these are for things that happen that all because of an unemployed force that is not out there. We've got 36% of Alaskans living on welfare of one form or another in our state now. I think that would be the first step, is to change that and get us all employed once again. Thank you for my time to testify.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Hoftaling. I don't see any questions of the committee. So next we will go over to Marge Stone King, calling you from Anchorage. If you can state your name and your affiliation and proceed with your two-minute testimony.
Good evening, representatives. This is Marge Stone King, Advocacy Director for AARP Alaska, and I want to thank you for passing the fast-track supplemental budget today, including the funds to Department of Health to help shore up Department or Division of Public Assistance, and prepare them for the Medicaid eligibility redetermination. We also support those funds in the regular supplemental and in next year's budget to help with capacity and infrastructure for Division of Public Assistance to be able to handle the Medicaid eligibility redetermination to keep Alaskans covered
I'm calling tonight primarily to ask for and support an increment in investment in home and community-based services through the Division of Senior and Disability Services to be able to stand up a participant-directed care program option for waiver participants. You heard this from our volunteers earlier in the session and from our partner organizations, and you've heard from seniors and Alaskans with disabilities who've been unable to find services because they can't find caregivers through agencies because of the workforce crisis. Participant-directed care is a common-sense approach to be able to augment the workforce and support family caregivers and have people be care recipients be able to receive services and manage them in the way that they are most comfortable and can best thrive. I've submitted written testimony to give you further details on this, but I thank you for your work and for listening to these stories. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Ms. Stone King. And I don't see any questions from the committee, so we will move over to Murray Wilson calling you from Houston, Alaska, if you can state your name and your affiliation.
Hi, my name is Murray Wilson, and I'm calling in regards to Access Alaska and all the other things that are... I dropped my paper. I have a traumatic brain injury, and that's how I got involved with Access Alaska. Since 2014, they've been helping me and teaching me how to be my own advocate. And if they wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now. And they helped me today. I had heating oil delivered to me, and I had been without heat for 3 days, and it was getting real cold. And I just want to let you know how much I appreciate them and their program and the help that they have given me. And that's not the only time they've helped me, many times with the grants that are available through their program and the other centers for independent living is what I'm calling to support. And I thank you for the time I had to speak, and I also want to tell everybody in this, all of these programs and stuff, thank you for the good hard work that you're doing and the honest work that you're doing. We're supposed to be a team, and let's be a team that helps each other out instead of the other way. That's the way it's supposed to be. Let's show them how to do it right. Thank you so much for your time, and bless you all.
Thank you very much, Ms. Wilson, and thank you for your kind words. I don't see any questions from the committee, so we'll move on to our last testifier for now. We'll come back later, but after we take a break. So with that, Mr. Gerald Dewhurst calling in from Big Lake, if you can state your name and your affiliation.
Yes, my name is Gerald Dewhurst. I live in Big Lake, Alaska, and I have no affiliation at this time with any organization, but I have family members and many members of other families that I know in the community that are members of the disability community. And what a wonderful thing it is to meet and to be a part of that community. We have a niece who is 40, inter 40 years of age. She is in a intentional home in the Kenai area, and she thrives beautifully. But one of the big challenges that we've seen over the years is staffing, because staffing is either not being paid the wage that they could get elsewhere, or the workload that they have is so heavy that they don't stay as long as we'd like to see them stay. When we see a member of the disability community working with a staff member, and they thrive, and they just do their best, and then all of a sudden you get someone comes in and they totally turn their life upside down. I see where this funding is really, really important and something I would like to see go forward. So our goal is to keep these people, whether they be young or old, in our community and with their families and being a part of our community. If we send them outside, we have to pay so much more than we do if we can keep them in Alaska. I guess what I'm asking for more than anything is you to pass the bill so that we can continue to take care of our own and take care of them in a way that they are a part of our community and give to our community. Thank you for all of your efforts. Thank you for what you do for our state. And again, I'm just a citizen crying out because I know a lot of people in the DD community.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dewhurst, for calling in. I don't see any questions of the committee. For the folks watching, I just want to remind folks that you can submit public testimony via email. And we are taking public testimony on two items, and that is HB 39, which is the state operating budget, as well as HB 41, which is the state's mental health budget. And you can submit your public testimony via email by emailing us at housefinance, that's one word, housefinance@akleg.gov. One more time, housefinance@akleg.gov. We're scheduled to take public testimony from 5 o'clock until 8 o'clock. We have no more testifiers at this moment. If folks can sign in no later than 7:30, we'll be taking sign-in until 7:30 p.m. this evening and then ending by 8 o'clock. But again, we have no more testifiers at this point, so we will break until 7 o'clock p.m. We'll come back. We'll see if we've got more folks who have signed up. And so with that, we will be at ease until 7 o'clock. So with that, we'll see you 7 o'clock.
House Finance back on the record. We are doing our next round of testimony. Looks like we have two persons that have joined us since we recessed. Rosalind Goodman, if you are there, if you're welcome to go ahead and put yourself on the record and begin your two-minute public testimony.
Okay, thanks, I am on. Yes, so my name is Rosalind Goodman, and I've been a resident of Alaska for 45 years and a current resident of Pedro Bay for the last 23. And I'm calling in to persuade the Finance Committee to reinstate the $402,700 that was reduced from the governor's proposed budget for the state library. The state library uses those funds to provide public library assistant grants to currently 86 villages or communities. And if the funds are not reinstated, the $7,000 a year grant amount would be reduced to $2,300, half of which is required to be spent on purchasing materials, which doesn't leave a whole lot left for everything else. In Pedro Bay, we no longer have a school. So the library is really a hub for accessing books, DVDs, other resources. We have a number of community members that cannot afford the internet access that's available. And so they heavily use the library for that. Also, when you have a library, you have, in your community, you have access to library materials around the state. It's kind of like the go-to point for accessing a lot of other materials, and the library also provides programs, a summer reading program and cultural program. So I'm hoping that you will heavily consider reinstating those funds so that the public library assistant grants can continue at their current rate of $7,000 a year. And also the community is allowed to count that amount toward a local contribution to leverage that for federal library money, which is an additional $7,000. So the cut to $2,300 would really make a big impact. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Mr. Representative Joseph.
When we reconvened, I didn't get this person's name. I just would like to have a record.
Rosalind Goodman.
Rosalind
Goodman. Yes, Rosalind Goodman. Goodman.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Susie Sluck from Anchorage. If you would, go ahead and put your name on the record and begin your two-minute public testimony.
Yes, can you hear me? I'm not sure if my speaker's on or off.
Yes. Yes, go ahead.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I'm Susie Sluck, and over a year ago, I was violently arrested in front of the Anchorage Museum for smoking and trespassing, supposedly. But I was not. I was told I was going to be just escorted off the premises, and I told the man not to put his hands on me. He did, and it went from there to a very violent little assault in front of everybody internationally. I might add, you have an audience on that, and it culminated with me being taken to Highland with no cause, and then being held in there on like a bogus mental health clause, and being able to talk to a bunch of other people who were suffering from the same experiences repeatedly, from the homeless shelter to the prison and back out again, and then all over again. And the reason I was able to come out is because the staff agreed with this assessment that the state of Alaska is actually driving people crazy with that kind of behavior and putting it on fucked up TV shows for entertainment purposes. And that is going to stop. I guarantee that. And then you're going to bring all those children out of the mental health services, wherever they are, put them into therapy along with their children. You are going to do all this because I am out of patience with all of you.
All right, we are next moving to Melanie Hooper, affiliated with Campfire Alaska. Melanie Hooper, if you would, please state your name for the record and put yourself, state your name for the record, and you can begin your two-minute public testimony.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Melanie Hooper. I'm the CEO of Campfire Alaska. I just want to thank the House Finance Committee for their support of the proposed operating budget, which includes early childhood resources and services. Federal relief funding has helped keep child care programs open, but that funding is ending soon. We urge the state to invest in child care to really soften the impact of these expiring federal relief funds to ensure child care can continue to keep its doors open, serving youth and Alaskan families. Campfire is one of the largest licensed school-age child care providers in the state of Alaska. Prior to the pandemic, we operated 30 child care programs and served close to 1,100 youth per day in Anchorage and Eagle River. Currently, we're operating 17 locations and serving approximately 550 youth per day, which is only 50% of the youth we served pre-pandemic. That federal funding has allowed our programs to stay open, to keep fees as low as possible for families, and to recruit and compensate our staff. These funds were and are critical for strategic regrowth of child care. Campfire's opened 5 programs within the last year and added over 200 child care slots to this program. Without that relief funding, our child care programs would not have been able to operate or continue to reopen. I just want to express that these funds were used responsibly and strategically, but we are still far from being fully recovered. The state's child care infrastructure remains fragile, and without continued investment, child care costs will rise for families, programs may close, and growth will be difficult. I just urge you to really consider the impact this has on supporting working families. We are just so grateful that you are taking the time tonight to hear
the impact and value of such an investment. Thank you.
Thank you for so much for sharing your public testimony. We now will go to the Anchorage LIO, and we have Stephanie Berglund from Thread is set to testify. Ms. Berglund, if you would, please paste your name on the record, and you can go ahead and begin your public testimony, your two-minute public testimony.
Good evening, and thank you for the opportunity to testify on the operating budget. I'm Stephanie Berglund, the CEO of Thread. Thread is Alaska's child care resource and referral organization, and we're a private nonprofit that has served Alaska for over 35 years. We're also a proud member of the Alaska Early Childhood Advocacy Group. Thank you for supporting the current proposed FY24 budget, including child care and early learning. We understand that the subcommittees have considered proposals for additional support for child care and early learning, and we're pleased to see that that includes increased investment for Best Beginnings. Thread encourages other increased investment for our youngest Alaskans, including investment in child care, Head Start, Alaska Inn, and parents with teachers. As you've been hearing, child care is an important part of our economy. We have a statewide workforce shortage, which has impacted child care as both a support for working families and businesses, but also for the child care industry itself. In order for our economy to grow, Thread believes families need more access to high-quality child care and early learning. We urge you to consider increasing the state's investment in child care and early learning in the FY24 budget. Thank you for your work and consideration of this important issue.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in and sharing your public testimony with us. That brings us to the end of our current list. We will recess until 7:30 p.m. and return for any final comments. Those who would like to share written testimony may do so. At House Finance at Alaska, excuse me, let me start that over again. Anyone that would like to share written testimony with us may do so at house.finance@akleg.gov. I believe we have one person in the room. Okay, let me go back and start that over again, too. Looks like we have a person not in the room that is off net that is one member who is for public testimony, signed up for public testimony. We have Paul Swalling from AGC of Alaska. Mr. Swalling, if you would, please state your name for the record, and you may begin your public testimony.
Yeah, hi. Yes, hello. This is Paul Swalling with Swalling General Contractors based in Anchorage, Alaska. And I would like to have some public testimony in regards to the primacy of 404 of the Clean Water Act and in support of funding that for the state to take over that that portion of the implementation of that 404. We've had a long history in the state of taking over some of those processes that the federal government has previously had. And I think having the state control over those parameters will significantly improve the permitting process that we experience in the construction industry, trying to get projects off the ground and going and maintaining the level of which the inspections and all the things that are required to stay on part of that. I've personally been involved with some of the other ones that have been taken over by the state, including the stormwater discharge that was recently taken over back in like 2008 and worked with the feds previously and after the state has taken over, and they have had significant improvements in accessibility to get those permits
approved and facilitated throughout the life of the project. And I would just like to reiterate that with the big development projects that are coming through with the Infrastructure Act, that this will be a significantly streamlined piece here as well. And just want to voice my support for funding the 404 Prime Minister for the state of Alaska. And I'd like to take the time and thank you for allowing the testimony and hearing us on this portion of our legislation.
Thank you very much for calling in. We do appreciate your public testimony. All right. Thank you, Mr. Swalling. That was our last person that we do have signed up. We will recess until 7:30 p.m. and come back for our last round of public testimony. House will stand at recess, or the House Finance Committee will stand at recess. House Finance back on the record. It appears we have no additional persons signed up or at the LIOs. So I would like to thank the members of the public for taking the time to weigh in tonight. And thank you all for spending your evening with us. It's been great fun. Our next meeting is tomorrow, Thursday. March 23rd at 1:30 p.m. The committee will receive a presentation on the spring revenue forecast from the Department of Revenue and the Willow Project update from the Department of Natural Resources and the Department of Revenue. That will be followed by a continuation of public testimony on HB 39 and HB 41, the operating and mental health budgets from 3 to 5 p.m. for off-net callers. And seeing no callers, no additional testifiers, and no further business before the committee tonight, at 7:32, we are adjourned.
Mr. Chair.